Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Scottish Watches podcast.
Stop. I'm going to have to pull rank here, Rick. The time has come. I'm going to have to school you. I'm going to have to take you on a little wander back to the days of Grange Hill. Cue the Grange Hill music in the background.
What, where the fork comes in with the sausage on the end of it?
Oh, you're remembering the original one from way back. I was thinking of the more recent one.
Zamo and Tucker and...
Roland.
Roy, or was that the dog from EastEnders?
Both. Anyway, you sit down, sit in your hands and stop butting in, because I'm going to teach you how to butt in properly on a podcast.
Right, okay.
So, we had a lot of fun in the last edition that went out, which was with RT from Vortic, obviously. Congratulations once again to those guys for doing something that quite a lot of people thought they wouldn't be able to. But he's a guy that when he's on a mission... He is committed. You know, he doesn't stop. He doesn't let people get in the way, even the watch industry in Switzerland. And when Rick TikTok decided he was going to over-talk everything this guy said, he just didn't take it. He just went straight for it, kept talking, and you had no chance.
Clearly wasn't his watch.
That sparked a conversation about watches.
That's okay.
You take that, that's fine.
Yeah.
Just let it be known that we have one watch a day,
and if you want to buy it, do you want the one that...
Has the best historical story, there's so many angles to that.
Mm-hmm.
Answer each of those questions for us, which is the best timekeeper?
So I'm going to teach you how to butt in properly, okay? You ready?
Okay, yeah.
What you need to do is listen to what somebody's saying. Wait for cues that they're about to stop speaking, then quickly interject. Or wait to see if they're going to breathe, and when they go blah, 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 that's your opportunity to jump in and talk. All right.
Is it possible that RT doesn't breathe? Is it possible that he's like a fish man? He's got gills or something.
He's Aquaman.
And he doesn't actually breathe, and that's why I had difficulty interrupting him.
Possibly. I mean, his watches do have better water resistance than most of the Swatch group, so it could be. You never know. But that was an amazing episode. Really enjoyed doing that one. And we had a chat before recording the show thinking maybe this is going to be a little bit dry because it's just a bit of case and it just went everywhere. I mean, we talked about his history, how he came up with the idea for the brand out in the golf course, what happened, how they were approached by Swatch Group initially, how the lawyers got involved and the story of Vortic Watches right down to giving them some ideas for the future about their daily watches that they put on Instagram.
And then just to round it all off, Sam continued the tradition of mocking me, interrupting by slagging me off on Scottish Watches Live on Friday, much to the hilarity of everybody else.
How did they...
Sorry, go on, Sam.
Okay. Or if you want to overtalk me, it's fine. I was going to ask, did...
So if you wish to see me getting absolutely panned twice in 1 week, it will never be allowed to happen again. That's not happening. I've actually got a plan. I've asked him if he wants to do the introduction to episode 13 because Scottish Watches Live is available on YouTube, but it's now also available as a podcast. So Scottish Watches Live, a Lugs edition. I've asked him if he wants to do the intro. Uh-huh. And when he sends it to me, I'm then just going to edit it suitably so that I get words in edgeways and he'll be able to do nothing about it. I've also attached the worst photograph I can find of him within the episode as the holding image on YouTube. So, yeah.
Very nice of you, Rick, to do that for the poor gentleman. I mean, just...
Vengeance is mine.
Take the polish off his crown.
Exactly. What does it say about not picking fights with people who buy ink by the barrel? Don't pick fights with folk with podcasts.
What is it? The mic is mightier than the sword? Something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Anyway, that was a good episode. Enjoyed that one. Anyone that's listening that thinks, oh, a third Scottish Watches podcast, this will be amazing. Well, no, it won't. But if you go and check it out, it's something that you can listen to if you don't manage to get the video. But the quality of the audio, because it's recorded through Zoom and people's webcams and everyone's over-talking, don't expect it to be the same. It's just a sort of intro to the video. The best thing you can do is watch it live, interact, get in the YouTube comments and chat with people. That's the whole point of it. It's to give an open forum for people that help out the community that we've got here and you guys to get involved too. And one of the plans we've got, if we're doing an interview with, say, Nicholas at Fears, that might be coming soon, or another company that's quite big, then potentially we'll have them on the live show either the following day or a couple of days after the podcast. So you guys, if you've got questions, can jump in there and ask. But it's always best to do it live or watch the video. And your third option is the podcast with Rick's ropey editing.
Sounds like there might actually be a plan.
That's because I was thinking about this and how we can turn this turd and polish it slightly.
You leave me alone. This is a great idea. I'm telling you, it's the future. The future is just going to be, you're going to log on to your podcast and all you're going to see is Scottish Watches logos with different subheadings.
It's a footer. It's not the future, but okay. So what's been happening in the world of Rick?
Horses this weekend. That's why I'm absolutely knackered. It's been a horse
weekend.
Is that
why you've got your hand over your mouth in front of the mic?
No, I have no such thing. That's not happening. That's a figment.
I can see your fingers in front of your face.
It's because you're still drunk.
No. Baby monitor is on, and the way you're slouching, I think you're the one that's been hitting the piss.
I am actually going to fall asleep. It is entirely possible. So no, it's been eventing weekend, so that's been fun.
Explain eventing to me, because you said something right at the tail end of our live show on Friday, because I wasn't there. I always catch up. Mm-hmm. Right at the end, you went, Ricky wasn't here. He might be back for the next one. He was out, as he likes to call it, entertaining. I don't like to call it entertaining. You call it entertaining. I call it dating.
To be fair, you call it entertaining. You call it entertaining on this podcast several times.
Yes, because that's because you came up with the term.
No, I'm not having that. I'm not having my interruptions interrupted and you telling me that you didn't, first of all,
no.
When you were trying to think of a different word for swiping right or left or whatever it is you do in that stupid
Why
app.
Would I come up what with you, the term entertaining?
Well,
it is true, but it's also the most eloquent description of.
He's just saying it's not very descriptive of what actually happens. It's not very entertaining.
Well, I'm entertained.
Okay, that's fine. So long as you're happy.
I am.
So long as you're satisfied, that's clearly all that matters.
So this sheathing that you were up to this weekend?
Well, we haven't had one of those jokes for a while.
So what exactly is eventing all about?
So eventing, it's where you dance with a horse and then you jump with a horse with things that you can knock down, and then you jump with a horse on things that if you hit them, you fall off and the horse falls on top of you. So that's pretty much it. Dancing, jumping and jumping. It's like a weekend out in Glasgow. There's some dancing, there's some jumping, and then there's some even bigger jumping.
Right, so you're involving yourself with watches and horses. I have got the perfect watch for you.
I am not having any JLC reverso nonsense on this show.
Even better, I've got a watch for you that has got a horse on the dial. There's three of them from Ralph Lauren. Yes.
Stunning, like just... That is like if you turned up to play golf for the first time... And you hadn't played before, so you went into the pro shop and just bought everything brand new, all the cool stuff, all the stuff that they were promoting, turned up on the first tee, and that was all the gear you were wearing. And everybody would look at you going, what a wally. That's the equivalent of wearing a Ralph Lauren polo watch to a horse event. It's like trying too hard.
So it's all the gear, no idea.
And that's exactly what it is. Oh. I have seen these as promoted. I think I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that if I open the Hodinkee website, these are going to be being pretty. Yes, of course they are, because of Ben Clymer's fascination with all things Ralph Lauren. I mean, they managed to report Polo Ralph Lauren launching fashion watches that are truly. If these had appeared on AliExpress, you would be like, yeah, okay. And yet they haven't managed to report anything.
I know what you're going to say.
That's happened between Vortic and Swatch Group. I'm stunned. I am stunned that they would report on Polo Ralph Lauren and not on the beating down of Swatch Group by a little
How
company
rare.
Called Vortic.
Was Vortic not appearing on Fox News in America on telly?
Yeah, so they appeared on Fox News and NBC, I think, as well, or ABC. It might have been both, and I think they were on Fox Business, I want to say. But these Ralph Lauren watches are £1,600 to $2,100.
But they must have a really fancy JLC movement in it. Because I remember Matt Farah way back when he used to be on the Watch and Listen podcast, and he was telling people that his dad was the CEO or the COO of Ralph Lauren in the States, and he would get access to watches that were mega expensive, but not as expensive if they were JLCs, and they had all these really cool, decent movements inside them. Please tell me this is the case here.
You know what? I can't actually tell because... Oh, no, I can. It is powered... Oh, wow. Wow, it's powered by the RL200 movement. That's presumably the Ralph Lauren 200 movement. They've clearly opened a great big factory, produced their own movements, or maybe taking 200. Something, as you say, from JLC.
200. Who uses the terminology 200 in movements?
Actually.
Sell Salita, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, the RL200 is a Salita. but it has Côte de Genève. Oh, it's also got Perlage, and you can see through the back of it because it's well known that Salita movements are some of the most attractive to look at through clear case backs. Everybody, you know, you can take your Erlangenzonas and your Pateks and, you know, your Urworks that do it differently and all the rest of it. What people really want to see through the back of a $2,000 watch is a Salita SW200 or the RL200. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that Hodinkee word this as the watch is powered by the RL200 movement. What do you call that, Mark? Dash. Made by Salita. Dash. Featuring vertical. Whereas if this had been any micro brand, it would have been this watch is powered by the RL200 movement. Made by Salita, or, you know, is a version of the Salita SW200. Mm-hmm. The inclusion of those dashes is a bit like the inclusion of the Côte de Genève on this Ralph Lauren. Completely inconsequential to the actual story that this is a Salita watch with a fashion guy's name on it. I mean, if you like this sort of thing, it's absolutely fine. I could see how, in some ways, this could be an attractive watch.
Rick,
In other ways, I could say, what is this about? It's just a watch with a horse on it.
Well,
I'll send you a photo of me on a horse.
No, that's a really bad idea. But no, I'm not buying this watch because see the wee hand on the guy that's sitting on the horse? I want that to be the second hand. I want him swinging that hammer as a second hand.
It does have the look of that it should really be a Mickey Mouse watch or Popeye watch. The horse's legs or the horse's tail should be like the hour hand, and the mallet should be the minute hand.
Yeah.
See that? You know what I think this needs?
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to phone Jody.
Do we?
We need to phone Jody at Just One More Watch and ask him to put a word in with some of his friends over AliExpress. And I think we need to see if someone can make us up a version of this with the tail as the hour hand and the mallet as the minute hand.
Cool. And we'll call it the Ralph Lawrence watch.
Alf.
Alf Lawrence.
The Alf Lawrence watch. Yes.
Jesus Christ. You in your state just now is the way I want you in future podcasts, because you edited yourself out of a 10-minute monologue there by realising it was going to be shite.
I just had RT in my head going, when's he going to sharp?
Yep.
When's he going to sharp?
God. You should have had RT on 200 episodes ago. Anyway, so that was your little horseplay. I was having some horseplay, or I was entertaining, as you would say, over in Capital City at the weekend. So I was over in Edinburgh. First kind of overnight stay somewhere for probably 6 months. And it was very interesting to see how the city has changed over the course of what's been happening just now. Because I was over there maybe a couple of months ago when Christopher Bettany came up from down south and we went sort of round a tour of watch shops, and it was desolate. Princes Street was empty. There was nobody there, no tourists, no nothing. But Friday when I was out and about, it was a lot busier. A lot of the shops have now closed and are boarded up and looking for new tenants and whatnot. That's tenants, not tenant. But it was good to have a wee wander around. Went down to Chisholm Hunter in the corner of Princes Street and had a look in the window. Tried to get hold of Chris, but as always, he had a day off because the guy doesn't work a day in his life. Then we went along to Fraser Hart because that's a couple of streets along. And they had one of those Speedy Racing watches from yesteryear that has got the official version of the strap that I have that's for a watch. It's not supposed to go on. It came from somewhere that's not Omega, if you know what I mean.
Got you.
No, you've got no idea.
No, I am familiar with the what. Do you think, you know what we should really do? We should actually really share that photo that we've got with RT from that particular AD opening with your particular Speedmaster strap with the particular executive from Swatch Group.
That's quite an interesting photo, that.
Could be useful. Didn't think of that.
But the best thing of the whole trip is I ended up staying in the Floatlight suite.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so is this because You had a special place to put your trainers that you could get them cleaned while you waited?
No, it was room 321.
Very good. Look at you. So, was that planned? Was that the way you were going to introduce watches into the conversation with your other half?
No, but I was. I mean, she's either a really good actress at feigning interest in watches or she's actually keen to learn, because we had a good look in the window and I was saying, right, okay, here's a massive window at the front of Princess Street. You know, it takes up loads and loads of room. What do you like in there? And she had a wee look. She wasn't keen on the Seiko Prospects. She thought they all kind of looked the same. She...
it's as well Chisholm Hunter don't sell Panerai then, eh?
Well. She had a look at the Zeitwerk from A Lang & Söhne. And then she saw the price and nearly died. And there is some work to be done here, because she was looking at the window, looking at all the stuff, and the one that she picked out, bear in mind, we are talking for females as well here, the one that she picked out was a Hugo Boss watch.
I know.
There is work to be done. But there we go.
Okay.
And speaking of Chisholm Hunter, we have been speaking to one of their members of staff, Louise, that works over in the Guile branch, and they have got a lot of the Oris watches that we've been mentioning, because Oris has been firing out left, right and centre new releases. She's got the Roberto Clemente one coming in, and she has got the Hangang one and a few of the other limited edition Aquas. So it's good to sort of chat with somebody that actually knows about watches in a shop, and she certainly knows her stuff, because she was chatting away all week about all the stuff that's coming in.
Cool. Good. One thing that Princess Street is well known for is lots of tourists. And we do know...
I'm spotting a segue.
Did I flash this up enough for you? So, and one thing we do know is that within the Edinburgh market, for virtually everything, but certainly luxury goods, very, very dependent on Chinese tourism, East Asian tourism, and to be fair, it's Edinburgh Castle, all the history and all of that, tourists from all over the world. Now, there is a story, which I've been trying to get to the bottom of, that the UK government, in its infinite wisdom, along with Brexit and how they're dealing with coronavirus, has at the same time decided to change the VAT rules on exports, which will particularly affect luxury items. Now, wait for it. So, what normally happens, and I think this is pretty common for anyone from anywhere in the world that goes overseas and buys something to bring back, is that you can either try and sneak it back into the country so that you don't pay any import tax on it. Some countries have a limit on the amount of valuables you can take out of a country and back into country. So you can try and sneak it in. Or you can declare it on the basis that the tax you would pay on taking it into the country is less than the tax you get back, or more than the tax you get back from taking it out of the country you bought it from. So you get a rebate, in this case VAT, value added tax, and then when you go to America, you have to pay a local tax or whatever it is. I'm not sure how it works over there. So that basically means that a lot of Chinese people, a lot of Asian countries will come into Edinburgh or Glasgow, or particularly London, if you think London and a lot of the Arab community that lives over there from Saudi Arabia, Dubai, etc. They will buy watches from Rolex, they will pay VAT on that, 20%. And then they will take it to the airport, they get a receipt, all the rest of it, they go through a process and they get 20% back when they take it out of the country. And in their case, they probably don't actually have to pay anything when they take it into their own country, because they're very low tax states, etc. What the government have decided to do is, well, what we initially thought they were doing was they were cancelling all of that, and it's just that you couldn't get your tax back. That would have been the simpler option. What they've actually decided to do, it would seem, is that in order to get the tax back, you're just not allowed to take it out of the country yourself. So you can buy the watch, but you then have to post it to yourself. So if you go to London, let's say you are from somewhere in China, Beijing, or you're in Abu Dhabi, both places renowned for their postal services. Postman always gets through in these countries. If you've got any experience, you'll know just how false a statement that is. Then you buy your watch and you post it to yourself, and then you get the tax back that way rather than doing a declaration at an airport or a special VAT reclaim place. And that's just bonkers. So if you think that in some of these places in London, over 50% of what they sell gets exported, and a lot of that is down to the fact that it's effectively 20% cheaper, because you take a brand like Rolex, Rolexes are pretty much parity what you pay in the UK with what you pay in the EU. because Rolex don't want to encourage tourism within the EU where you can go backwards and forwards within states, which is why sometimes the UK gets an adjustment in its prices, but the EU doesn't, because the UK still uses the pound, whereas Europe uses the euro, and there's occasionally a sustained difference there in the exchange rates. So Rolex change the prices to stop folk from Paris buying the Rolexes in London and just walking them across the border. And what this means is that they take into account the VAT as local. So effectively, if you're then not in the EU buying from Dubai, you can get your Rolex 20% cheaper because the UK has a high VAT rate than you can by buying it somewhere else. And all that's about to go out the window. And the luxury watch, luxury goods industry, especially in London, is going to be absolutely rogered by the end of this, on top of coronavirus and everything else that's happening, and Brexit, and just general downturns. So there you go, tirade over. Are you woken up yet?
What, sorry? You done?
I'm done. That is the idiot's guide from one idiot to the idiots listening to this to the VAT reclamation in the United Kingdom.
Right. So all the guys that were coming across organising bus trips to different ADs to buy Longines watches and loads of other things, yes, taking 35% plus per week of the profits for all these companies, that is now gone.
Absolutely. Well, it would appear to be, unless the UK government changes their mind, it is a busted flush.
Did anyone see this coming, or did this just appear out of nowhere?
There's a bit of a debate about whether this has appeared out of nowhere. Anyone who follows this, and because of some other things they're involved in, this was quite clearly on the cards, because once the United Kingdom is out of the European Union, then all the reclamations, VAT rates, everything falls down. Everything's up for grabs. So I think this was probably likely, or something similar to it, but rather than it just being a straightforward, well, you just kind of reclaim the VAT, or here's the process, they're going through this daft process, which is just simply, I mean, you're going to go, the whole point of buying your luxury watch in Edinburgh is you want to wear it home. You don't want to buy your Zeitwerk at Chisholm Hunters, and then you get sized, and then you post your £50,000 watch, or however much they are, back to your house in Riyadh. This is not really going to float. You'll probably not see it for another 6 weeks, if ever, let alone the insurance, let alone that shops are not kitted out for exporting these kind of high-value goods. They don't have the relationships with the logistics companies to do it. They don't know anything about export paperwork. So it's just nonsense. Just so happens I do know about export paperwork. So if anyone in the jewellery industry needs a friend, well, give us a shout.
Well, guess what? You know what? I kind of like to look at the glasses half full, unlike you today, Rick. And will this not mean if there's less stuff going out of the country, then our waiting list for people here is going to get shorter?
Well, that's an interesting argument as to how long it will be for one to catch up with the other. Obviously, the only supply. It's a question as to how many of these watches are being bought to flip from a grey market point of view. A substantial number of them are. So that, in essence, may actually take some of those watches out of the market, which will either make grey prices go up because there's less in circulation, or make more available for actual proper purchase. If it doesn't change, though, I mean, some of these boutiques are going to be absolutely crippled.
Yeah. Oh, well, that was a really nice and depressing story. So let's talk about some new watches.
Good.
Right. We got a note through from Monica at the Blue Company, and they deal with a whole range of different brands. Quite a lot of them end up in James Port & Son in Glasgow. The one that I spotted most recently is a Moulin Glashütte Teutonia Sport 2 in racing green, because obviously green is the colour that I'm interested in at the moment. So have you had a look at this one yet?
Yes. So British Racing Green. So Moulin Glashütte, we met, what's the guy's first name, Mr. Moulin? We met him actually at James Porter when he was over. Cool guy, an engineer rather than a watchmaker. His particular thing, if I remember correctly, is he's very much involved in making the machinery that the watchmakers use. So he's very much into his tolerances and all this kind of stuff.
Yep.
So although this is not a big brand that many folk will have come across, these are incredibly well-built watches, and they're decent value.
Massively good value,
They're decent value. This is British Racing Green. has a kind of E-type, Jag-type reference to it. The one I like is the racing... Is that what you call those straps with all the holes in them?
There's rally-style straps.
Rally-style straps. Is there a green version of that?
Yeah.
With green stitching on the watch. This is a... It's not a bezel. It's got a bezel, but it's not got a rotating bezel in any way. What would you... Is it a... Is it a Flieger? It's not a flying watch, but is it a field watch? What would
it's
be
a watch,
for those listening? It's a watch. It's got a running seconds at 9, and it's got a date window at 3, which shows 3 dates, and then a little arrow telling you pointing to the one in the middle. It's pretty cool. I like it. It will be tank tough. It is using the Ralph Lauren RL200. No, it's using the Sellita 290, which I actually think is better than the RL200, possibly. But it's using a Sellita movement. It is 10 bar is...
100 metres.
1,000 metres. No, 100 metres.
Yeah.
Yeah, one bar. Yeah, it's 100 metres water resistant. Just over $2,000. Available from November. Is it limited edition?
Don't think so.
No, I don't think it is.
No,
but it's cool.
So.
Certainly worth a look. All of Miller Glass Hooter's stuff's worth a look. There's some particular stuff I seem to recall they do for. Now, I'm going to get this wrong. It is a branch. I think it's like the equivalent of Air Sea Rescue or the Coast Guard.
Mm-hmm.
And these are pretty cool watches. It's a brand worth getting to know. Mm-hmm. It has that kind of whole Zin type thing going on with it, maybe not quite to the same extent with the kind of Navi Timer type-esque things, but it's got that kind of feel to it. So go and have a
well, these guys have actually got a link to what they're trying to do here, because you know what it's like. Most people just release a watch and then they will think of something afterwards and say, how can we link this to that in the way of marketing? But it turns out that Miller Glass Hooter, historically suppliers of different components for cars, racing cars, etc. So they used to make speedos, rev counters, clocks. So there is an actual tie-in there instead of just, British Racing Green and E-type Jags and stuff like that. You know, there is an actual genuine link. And I've seen these watches, tried them on, obviously, when we've been in at Porter's and the event you're talking about, which was a Red Bar one, probably a couple of years ago now, before we actually started Scottish Watches. And it was great seeing the guys from both Meistersinger and Miller Glass Hooter. And we have got a podcast coming up soon with Monica from the Blue Company. And I think it's one of the guys that works with her there. And we're going to sort of go through the different brands. The brands that most people, again, don't really talk about too much. It's not the big heavy hitters, but they offer value for money, incredible quality, just as good as anything in its price bracket and above. So that is one to look forward to. And we've been really busy with recording lots of stuff, haven't we?
There's lots coming up. We have recorded our second episode in our new mini-series. Don't think we're ready to tell everybody who it's with yet, though.
We might have a problem with episode one there.
Well, there is a vicious rumour that one of the individuals concerned may have accidentally, on purpose, because he lost on the show. Because the show has a bit of a competitive format, and it's possible that it's a watch game show. It's possible that in a fit of pique, this particular individual has deliberately, on purpose, deleted his audio.
And sent you a recording of him whistling instead?
Yes, sent a recording of him whistling. And the thing is, I've received an email from his boss. In fact, his boss's boss. And she's not alluding to there being any problems. So I think he's still got to fess up that he's actually duffed this up.
I don't think he has, because, I mean, when you're using... It's hard to f*** this up.
I mean, some would say it was inevitable that this was going to happen with this particular individual.
Yeah.
That's the only clue you're getting.
Does this individual we're talking about, does he have a love for Panerai? Is it a running gag that people that love Panerai are shit with recording audio?
Who doesn't? I would just like to, for the record, say that I have yet to hash up the actual recording technicality bit of pressing the record button. However, I do have a confession to make that actually I also thought that I had deliberately on purpose also managed to delete my recording of this particular show until I found it. I thought I had accidentally, because we recorded so many shows last week. I think we recorded, did we record 4 or 5 shows last week? It certainly felt like that. I actually thought I'd accidentally reformatted the disc on my voice recorder and completely deleted the show. So I was in a bit of a panic. So it's just as well, it wasn't me. I'm not to blame. I can blame somebody else because he stuffed up instead. So there we go.
That's fine. All right. Well, yeah, we do have lots in the bag. We have got an episode that will be coming out soon. Not 100% sure when, but within the next week or so. And that's with Nick from Fierce Watches. He has got a couple of releases coming out. And there is an embargo thingy, one of those things that we hear about, but we're never usually involved in. But we're involved in this one, so we're not going to say anything about it. But you will love that show.
See, I don't think he's not sent us any paperwork.
Yeah, but it's Nick. We like him. It's fine.
No, but he couldn't shake our hand. We didn't shake hands on it because of, you know, COVID and stuff.
He's a good guy.
I don't actually think there's any embargo here at all.
Listen, there is.
I think Nick should be proud that during this time of lockdown, he has learned to swim and has now produced his first dive watch. I don't think that's anything you should be ashamed of. And we all, and then this, so you'll be listening to this on Monday. We're recording this on Sunday. And then I think this Thursday, we will probably have an interview. And we also have an episode coming out. What we'd like to say is...
Just tell them. Tell them, Rick. Tell them who it's with and what it's about, because it's a good one.
It is with eBay. And it's not a paid for advert. We have actually asked the serious questions about the whole assured buying stuff that is now in play in the United States.
Rick, did we get some corporate shill on that doesn't know anything about watches?
No, we didn't. We got the bee's knees, the man's man who knows all about watches, has his own collection and is now the head of luxury. All of luxury, not just the watches.
And his first name's Archie.
His first name's it is the Archie Luxury of eBay that we've got on. Now, he's also in charge of luxury sneakers. I don't get that. I don't know how trainers can be luxury, but, you know, go figure. Mm-hmm. But he's in charge of all of luxury for eBay, and he's on here to speak about the new scheme that they've got, which means if you buy a watch over $2,000, there are a lot more guarantees that come with it so that you feel a lot more comfortable about buying stuff from eBay, which is kind of what they're there for.
Well, it's massive. It is so good. And again, a bit like the Vortic one, I thought, how are we going to stretch this out to full episode without it sounding bollocks? And it doesn't. It is very informative. Guy knows what he's talking about. Went through lots of different ideas. I said, well, you know, what happens if this, or what happens if that, or what happens if you buy something and then this? And everything sounds covered. So it's a great episode. Don't let the fact that it's, you know, it's a show about the one thing put you off. It is really good, really in-depth. And the guy, I sounded him out. I asked him some questions about watches and his collection and what he thought of this and what he thought of that, and he hit the nail on the head. Great guy to speak to. And he used to work with Sophie as well or something like that, didn't he?
He did, but obviously, you know, that clearly didn't end well. Obviously, you know, we all know what it's like working with Sophie.
See, if you work with Sophie and then you suddenly become the guy in charge of the world's largest trading platform for goods and you're in charge of spotting counterfeits, working with Sophie has been a good idea.
It's training. It's absolutely training.
That's it.
I'm surprised that he's still got any watches of his own collection and that she's not managed to nick them all.
Fillings in his teeth. Yeah.
So it's a good show. It's not an advertorial. We are actually asking this guy proper questions to try and get to the bottom of what's going on and whether it's worth doing.
And there's even a drunk eBay story that involves a motorbike, but I'm not going to say
anything
about that.
There's lots of good stories. So check that out. That will be out on Thursday. Excellent. So other new watches. Hublot. Let's talk Hublot because we don't... Well, actually, no. Let's random number generator. Do we talk about Hublot or do we talk about the new Apple Watch? Because both are sometimes held with equal derision.
Let's go Hublot first.
I quite like this. This is the 40th anniversary Super Limited New Classic Fusion XL. It's available in gold and black dial and metal.
It's in metal, is it, Rick?
It's in metal.
Instead of balsa wood.
Actually, it's titanium. Titanium and that's what I'm seeing. There's a titanium version, a ceramic version, and a yellow gold version. 200 pieces of the titanium and ceramic and 100 pieces of the yellow gold. Now, the titanium is $8,000 US.
Mm-hmm.
200 pieces, limited edition. It's a 45 mil. If you're familiar with the old-fashioned Fusion, this is just complete retro to that. And I've always liked this watch from Hublot. And for $8,000, super limited, this is actually not a bad shout. This Hublot, I do like it.
And
I
why is like this an interesting release? What's it commemorating?
40th anniversary of, I assume it's 40th anniversary of the whole, yeah, it's the 40th anniversary of the whole brand.
Do you think of Hublot as being 40 years old? Because I don't, I think they're far newer than that in my head.
Let me just check. Let's just check some. Let's do some fact checking here.
I don't think they're lying to us, Rick, but no, I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you think about it, though, 40th anniversary, that's only 1980.
Yeah.
I mean, Hublot was definitely around in the late 80s.
Yeah, I'm thinking the 90s.
Sort of early 90s.
Kinda, I don't know.
Had a so, bit of a, no, a peak. 40th anniversary, that's when Mr. Beaver, I think, got involved and did all that, was it? I can't actually remember what the foundation myth is for Hublot, but I'm sure he's involved there somewhere. Just hold on a second.
Is that your wife coming in?
Yes.
Is your wife looking at you, slouched over a keyboard with a headset on and a microphone in front of you, and looks at you in pure disgust, like, he's doing that bloody thing for watches again?
No.
Is she stripping wallpaper as well?
No.
What's the chances I'm leaving all this in for a laugh?
Sorry, that was the sound of dog food being scooped out of the big dog food bin.
Nice.
I quite like this.
It's okay, but it's a Hublot.
Well, you see, I mean, they're good. I mean, they are good.
There's nothing wrong with them.
They're well made. I mean, they use the best RL 200 movement.
I was going to ask if some of them. Shit. What kind of movement does the new Apple Watch have?
RL 200.
Right. Okay.
It's now the go-to watch movement. Don't you know?
Okay.
So I am actually seriously considering getting this Apple Watch now.
Why? For health reasons.
Genuinely for health reasons. Mm-hmm. But I think it's time to give this a bash and see.
Well,
what all
you
the
know,
fuss
Rick,
is about.
I was looking through the details for the latest edition of iOS. Right, that this is a watch podcast. We're going to do 2 minutes mm-hmm. on this because I found it quite interesting, and especially for you. It's got a lot of accessibility options now added.
What you mean? Like it'll read me the time?
It does more than that, right? You can actually set your phone up, and it works in all models from the 6 Plus onwards or a 6S onwards, where you can set it up so it constantly monitors what's happening around you with audio, and it can pick up the sound of running water, fire alarms, babies crying, and it will actually pop an alert up saying, I can hear this happening, in case you haven't noticed it because you're deaf.
Oh, really? So really? Will it pop up, RT is speaking. You should not be speaking.
Be shushed.
Can we set
it? Will do that
set
for you.
The Vortic mode.
Vortic mode activated.
Do we really want? Actually, do you think that if Apple were suing Vortic, that they'd win more likely than Swatch Group?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, Apple stole everything that they've got, allegedly.
Allegedly.
So Xerox PARC and all that kind of good stuff.
Why don't we say, in fact, somebody in our chat group was talking about they've got an old Apple, original Apple Watch.
Yeah.
The Apple Zero, whatever. Why don't we get, I think it was Ralph. Why don't we ask Ralph to send it to RT to make into a pocket
Moser.
Watch. Into a pocket watch. And then we'll tip off Apple that this guy's at it again. And see what happens.
He's an addict. We actually got an email in from somebody called Gabriel Hinden saying, enjoying mm-hmm. what you've been doing for a while now, and I really appreciate your recent podcast and live show about the Vortic case. A shame on the rest of the watch media for not covering it. Keep it up. And I thought, that's pretty good. We've actually had quite a few different emails in. We had another random email from somebody looking to buy a watch from us because we are Scottish watches. A guy called Kino from Canada, because I did a reverse IP check on it, make sure it wasn't someone taking the piss locally. He said, okay. Hello, do you guys have a Valjoux 72 minute counter jumper spring by chance? No.
Well, we should have said yes. Listen, the answer, like, What is it in Ghostbusters? When somebody asks you if you're a god, you say yes. If somebody asks you for a vows you springy thingy madoodat, you say yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay.
Cats well, and dogs.
Here's a top tip as well. This comes from Greg Patrick in our Facebook group. Make sure and go and join the Facebook group. It's a good laugh. And he says, here is a top tip for those in relationships. Immediately put a loud strap on any new watch purchase, intentionally drawing attention to it. That way, when your other half asks, is that new? You can reply with, the strap, yeah, what do you think? Genius, I know.
It was, I also saw, and I don't think I'm going to be able to lay my hands on it quickly enough to get the, give proper credit, but someone had sent to us or posted somewhere that we saw a watch company that had, it might have been, I don't think it was a setup, I don't think it was Photoshop, I think it was genuine, but it was basically a box. You know how on Amazon, when you order stuff, you can say, order as a gift. So yeah. It comes wrapped and with a receipt separately and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This was basically a box that you could tick so that it arrived as if you had just won a free prize draw and that this and that this watch was your prize. I thought, that's genius.
Oh, man, that's a good one. In the Facebook group as well, I'm going to keep plugging it. Somebody had actually posted up saying that Azos, the website that does, they sell everything, I think, they sell all kinds of clothing, male, female, yada, yada. They had Cassie Oaks sitting for 50 quid, brand new.
They did.
And within about 10 minutes of posting it in our group, they were all gone.
They were.
There was another email we had in, or a message, can't remember where this came from, copied and pasted it anyway, and it was a guy called Jeremias from Germany, and he said, hi guys, avid listener to the podcast, I recall you speaking about the urban myth of NASA space pens being outperformed by Russian pencils. It turns out your friends over at Hodinkee sell a pen with these space cartridges for $90. By the way, they're also qualified for knocking out an assailant, so maybe you should hand them out to all the spies associated with the show.
Yes, so this is what they call a if it's what I think it is, it's what they call a tactical pen.
Okay.
Which is basically a pen that works as a pen but is really just designed to be something you can use as a chib, which is a Scottish phrase for knife that is not sharp.
A shank.
A shank, yes. Mm-hmm. Though shanks are sharp, but this is it. So yeah, this is the embassy pen that you'll find on Hodinkee.
Mm-hmm. A few people did go absolutely crazy about you not having a clue about baseball when we were talking about the Oris.
Yes, one person in particular. Because what is my day not? My day is not complete unless Urban Cat has gone nuts over me for something. I think it's just becoming increasingly clear that my sense of humour and her sense of humour just don't, you know, they pass each other in the night.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I was getting around. She's not happy.
Lots of other people weren't happy with you either.
Go Titans.
Defecating on their prized sports.
I mean, cricket, it wasn't that I was being pro-cricket. It's dull as well.
You know what gets me, though, with the whole baseball thing?
What?
They call it the World Series. But it's only American teams that are in it.
Don't get me started. No, don't go there. Don't go there.
Right, what do you think of that?
You want a classic rant. Yeah. You're not allowed to say you're the world champions in something if you're the only country competing and Canada does not count. Okay, let's just move on. And what is it with Americans that watch college football? I don't get it. If that's like... It would be like in this country, most people going and watching what we call junior football or pub, also what is known as pub football.
Five aside.
Which is no, you actually just go and you watch the guys that, you know, have been doing it for years and know what they're doing. But in America, they have that. It's really weird. I've never understood the idea of college football. I mean, no, I'm not going to say it. No, I'm stopping myself before I get myself into even more trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because Ricky has not been a kind editor. And if I say it, he's going to leave it in. So I'm stopping now.
I might even deepfake your voice and put in some bits.
But I don't understand. I mean, it's obviously a cultural thing, you know, two countries divided by a common language and all that. But I don't understand why college football is so big, especially as, I mean, I can understand, like, if you've been to Oxford or Cambridge.
Right, we're done.
Then you're interested in the boat race because you went to those universities. But most of the folk that are interested in college football didn't go to those colleges. They're just from the same state. But that's like me saying, well, because I am from Scotland, I will support the Edinburgh rugby team from Edinburgh University, or the Stirling University women's football team. I don't get it. Anyway, never
mind. One of the things that maybe our international listeners don't know about Scotland is, for instance, would be whenever England, which is kind of joined on to the bottom of Scotland, it's like our arse, they play football. They've got more people, so they generally play football. That's soccer, American people. They play football slightly better than us because of, you know, population and all that kind of stuff. But whenever they play against another team anywhere, Scottish people will always support the other team.
Yeah, actually, I think what you're really missing here is context, because it's not just that when England play any other team, Scottish people support that team. It's a global phenomenon in my experience. That if you're if you're from any of the previous colonies or anyone that we robbed of vital artifacts or indeed people, anybody from any of those, which if you look at a map, the UK at one stage or England at one stage has pretty much fought wars with virtually everybody except, don't think we fought a war with the Brazilians, but I might be wrong.
I did go in Argentina though.
Well, we did have a go with Argentina, a bit of a square go with them over the old Falkland Islands. But yeah, so it's a worldwide phenomenon. So, if the New Zealanders are playing the English at rugby, the Aussies are supporting the New Zealanders. And bear in mind, Aussies and New Zealanders, quite a rivalry there. South Africans, yeah, pretty much, that's just the way it goes.
Apart from the Koreans, just, North and South don't really get on.
No, they don't, but I guarantee you that if North Korea were playing England, South Korea would be supporting the North.
Is it that bad? But that's why people in Scotland have football tops with ABE written on the back of it. Anyone but England.
Indeed.
So there we go. Okay, and some more watch news. There is a watch. It's not super new, but as it's newish, it's probably, a couple of weeks ago it got announced. And this is from our good friend over at Unimatic. And this is an all-white watch. And I am not going to attempt to announce the name of it because it is in Japanese, and I'm just going to give you the model number, and it's the U1-MY2.
This is this all white thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, Unimatic have done a hell of a lot of cool watches and continue to do so. GG is a big fan of the brand. Floatlight's got at least one that I've seen. I think he's got the ceramic coated white NASA watch that came out about a year or thereabouts ago, and they're lovely, absolutely lovely pieces. This one here, everything is white. The only thing that is not white is the capless center pinion, which is stainless steel colored, but everything else is white. So a bit like the dark side of the moon, the really dark ones where there's nothing on it at all and it's going to be difficult to see. I reckon this one could be tricky to make out the time in direct sunlight. What do you think?
Well, Unimatics are known for being quite cool. There was a guy at a Red Bar in Edinburgh who had one. First one I'd ever seen. It was awesome, but completely illegible.
Yeah.
But that's not really why we... I should add a correction, because we always like to be completely correct on the most petty and ill-informed podcast. The UK / England has actually fought a war with Brazil, but we haven't fought... There's only 22 countries in the world that the UK / British / English have not invaded. Mm-hmm. And the only two in South America are Bolivia and Paraguay.
Can we also just say that Scotland had nothing to do with any of that?
Of course not. We've never...
We were busy having our crofts burned at the time. So we had nothing to do with
other Scottish people.
It was like that when we got here.
So anyway, and Mongolia, we've never fought a war with the Mongolians. I don't know what you pronounce. Yeah, Unimat, they're not exactly known for legibility, but they are cool watches. They are cool. I do like them a lot. This is interesting. Is this in celebration because they did the?
I've got no idea. I had a quick look at it. It's using the same process. They call it Cerakote, but they spell it weirdly. It looks like the NASA one, but more white. And it actually reminds me a little bit, again, when I was in Chisholm Hunter with the Squeeze, she was having a look at the Chanel watches, the J12.
Right, okay,
and
cool.
They've got the black ones, black whites and the whites, and it's a little bit reminiscent of that, but this will probably be a lot cheaper.
I would think this will be significantly cheaper.
Yeah, they're only about €700. Seiko NH35, usual kind of stuff. But no, I actually quite like this, and the fact that you can't read it, you're going to look at your phone for the time anyway, so who are we kidding?
Exactly. And then Patek, just to move to the complete polar opposite, have a new Calatrava. Yes. So the Calatrava Pilot Travel Time. I like the look of this, but the photography is hideous.
Okay.
There's only one decent picture of it, which looks like a proper real-life picture, and it looks wonderful. But all their photographs of it make it, in my opinion, look incredibly bland.
Since this is an audio podcast and not a video show, do you want to actually explain a little bit about it?
So, not really, not especially. It's 37.5.
You're half asleep, aren't you? You really are.
It's 37.5 miles. So this is the watch that has all the knobbly bits on the outside. This is Patek Philippe, Archi Luxury, Calatrava, pilot time, travel time. Pilot travel time for travelling if you're a pilot.
Uh-huh.
So basically local time zone, home time zone, calendar function, jumping out, you know, all the Patek loveliness, but 37.5 mil for your $48,000. So the old one, the previous one was 42, which is a proper size of watch. This is the one. Well, I don't know if you, I mean, 30, it, I wonder how odd this is going to look because of the three crowns on it. With it being that much smaller, I think it might look quite odd because it'd be interesting to know if the crowns themselves are actually the same size as the crowns on the larger model, or whether the crowns are actually, you know, have been reduced ever so slightly for this watch, or whether it's effectively the same thing but just in a smaller case. Because I think proportionally it could feel or look a bit odd. But never going to see one in the flesh. So not really a big problem, I guess.
I quite like the look of it. It's, in a show you haven't heard yet, we talk about Patek Philippe. We talk about different companies and brands. And I'm not going to, anything I say is going to ruin the show that's coming out soon. So I'm not going to say anything. But all I'll say is this one is middle ground between most of the shit that Patek put out that I've got no interest in and the one that I do like. So there we go. And before we close out, just a couple of last things to say. The Red Bar Global that happened a week ago, all the videos that they did, all the live broadcasts on Zoom, they have now been uploaded publicly to their YouTube channel. So if you jump onto YouTube, watch all the Scottish Watches videos, like them all, subscribe, tell all your friends. Then if you still got time, go to Red Bar, look at the global videos. There's VJ from Oris, you've got Rolf on there, you've got Davide Serrato from Montblanc, you've got the guys from Wolf Winders, loads and loads of stuff. Frederic Constant, you've got the guy from Analog Shift, I keep forgetting his name. What's his name, Rick?
Oh, pass.
That guy, him. No. Yep. Uh-huh. So he's on it too. No Dave Floatlight, so you will enjoy the viewing experience immensely. That's on there just now. And the VR glasses, if anyone got these VR glasses from Oris that were sent out to all the people that were checking out the live global meetup online, allegedly these VR glasses work on other websites that offer VR videos.
Oh, so is that why it's taking you so long to get this talker video out? Because you're turning it into a VR stream, is it?
Not quite. I'm still holding off your Horage review because I don't want to like jump the gun. Speaking of Horage, there's another company that we have been trying to get on the phone for a podcast for over half a year, and we have finally nailed it down. So that's getting recorded this week.
Right,
and
cool.
There is tons to catch up with since those guys did a talk show with us at the start of the year. And the final thing, as we draw things to a close, we get sent a voice note from one of the guys we know, Lee, who works down south at one of the ADs. And he heard us talking about Filippo Loretti and their interesting marketing schemes. And he had a customer come into his watch shop. And, well, we'll just let him sort of finish out the show just now. But before we do that, Rick, do you want to tell people where to go?
Yes, so where to go, just Google Scottish Watches and go to all the places that the Google Meister algorithm shows you to go. You're listening to this on Monday. Check out, we'll have a podcast on Thursday. We'll have Scottish Watches live on YouTube on Friday.
Who with?
A couple of guests. Well, depending on whether he's found his audio or not, it might be with him.
Okay.
But if he's not found his audio, he might still need to appear on the show, but just be muted.
Why
for
is he coming on
event.
When his episode hasn't gone out yet?
Because he's going to trail his episode, because he's going to be a...
Is that not the arse about this face of what we talked about, where they come on after their show so people can interact with them about what they've just heard?
No, but bear in mind it's a five-week series. It's a series that's going to last for nearly 3 months, so there's plenty of time. So you might be coming on to do a bit of promotion for that. We will see. If not, then we have a couple other guests. Mm-hmm. It'll just depend. It'll depend on who's about.
Who can be bothered? Who can bunk off on a Friday afternoon?
Exactly. And then you can check out the Scottish Watches Live Lugs Edition, which is the new podcast channel. If you want to go and subscribe to that, you can download the first 10 episodes are there. Yes, the audio is shonky, but the introductions are all really good, except the first
one. You can't hear them because you've got them too low versus the music, you dick.
They're fine.
They're not. You can't hear it.
Can you just take your really good hearing and go and whistle for it? I know I'm deaf, and everybody else is deaf too, because we all listen to stuff far too loudly.
Okay.
It'll be fine.
All right. Well, that's us. I will put in the audio from Lee, because he signs off at the end with a great comment.
So it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him. And hello to Lee.
How's it, guys? Just following on from the Filippo Loretti discussion in the last podcast. I work for Chisholm Hunter, and I had a client that came through, and he was wearing his very own Filippo Loretti watch. In all honesty, the build quality was, I'd say, to a matching standard as a £150 Hugo Boss watch. When I was talking to him about the watch, he described how after he had paid his money through Kickstarter, it took over a year for him to receive the watch. Whenever he chased up the delivery of the watch, he was always given a different excuse as to what the delay was. The good news is that he doesn't have to suffer with that watch anymore, as he has bought himself a nice Longines Master Collection. Enough of that now. I will let Ricky carry on telling Rick to shut the fuck up.
So Rick, shut the fuck up.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.